Zane, 807 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. It is a Friday. 75 degrees outside of our studios as everyone gets the workday started here at 8 o'clock. Sean Sullivan was live in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday and Thursday at FAIR's 13th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Conference, FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. If you missed any of those shows, well, you can listen on Saturday to the Best of replay. That starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow after Prep Sports Report. Or you can go online, fmtalk1065.com, and click on the podcast page. Every single hour of every local program is uploaded to there. Also on the Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, multiple ways you can get the podcast. Of course, you can listen to us live if you're away from the car radio there at the website, fmtalk1065.com, via streaming, also on the TuneIn radio app and Simple Radio. It is a Friday, and during football season, we like to have a football Friday. So for today, I brought in a special guest, a good friend of mine, Corey LeBounty, who you'll hear on Prep Sports Report tomorrow morning beginning at 8 a.m. And also on Monday night, my sports show with Corey begins at 6 p.m. Sports Night every Monday night, where we recap the weekend in sports. Corey, how you doing today?
Outstanding. Good morning to you, Dalton. It's a pleasure joining you this a.m.
Yeah, and normally Sean and I, we talk about the SEC games that are coming up tomorrow. You and I will get to those in a little bit. But since you're in and you know more about high school football than anyone I know, I know you'll be calling a game tonight for the MCPSS Network. What game will you be calling tonight?
We'll have Centennial at MGM in Sims, Alabama. Be a great rivalry there. Those two schools not located too far apart from one another. Mm-hmm. So Al Whedon and I will be on that call. So it'll be interesting to see how those two teams coming off their first loss as far as Centennial Wildcats. They lost 1 week ago to Faith Academy in a great game. If you're a Faith Academy Ram, Centennial's looking to bounce back. MGM has lost a couple of heartbreaks. One to Murphy, in which they fought back, and then last week they got kind of destroyed by McGill Tulin. But again, a great matchup in Sims, Alabama.
Okay, tonight we have a lot of local games, and I do want to get to those in a minute, but we are heading into the sixth week of the season. Man, time flies. It seems like it was just yesterday that we were kicking off for week zero, as they call it. I did want to ask you, what have been some of the biggest surprises for you so far this season?
I think to be the man, you have to beat the man. UMS Wright, the Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. They are going for win number 24 tonight against Mobile Christian. They've won 23 in a row, and that's topping the state of Alabama as the longest winning streak. And, you know, hats off to Terry Curtis. They're going for the three-peat this year, and it's just one game at a time. Business as usual for the Bulldogs. Also, you look at the Murphy Panthers. They're mm-hmm. a pleasant surprise. They only won three games a year ago, and now they already are sitting at three wins, 3-1. Nice. They have a big game against Viger. Also, I mean, you look at Cottage Hill. Mm-hmm. Coach has done a great job. Chris Brazil, coach through some adversity and losing a couple of top seniors and finding a way with the young man Kyle Hipp at quarterback, they're getting it done as well.
All right. And, you know, we love our college football down here in the South, and so many of our high schoolers from around this area go on to do great things, not only in college, but eventually the NFL. I'm thinking of one man in particular. I mean, we could go down the list of guys that are in the NFL now, but Julio Jones certainly represents our area well. Who are some of the names that might be playing tonight, or in McGill's case, tomorrow? Who are some of these names we might see playing at the next level come next year?
You know, when you look at it, 2020's class is not as strong to me as 2021's class. The junior class along the Gulf Coast is extremely talented, but DeMoy Kennedy from Theodore, he's a young man that I think is going to be a difference maker. They're off this week. They have a bye, so a lot of teams have byes this week going into non-region play, and because of that, you won't have an opportunity to see some of those big-name kids play. But Dalton, the talent right here along the Gulf Coast, you've mentioned it, every Saturday morning when you tune in to a SEC game and sometimes a West Coast game, you're seeing names that have come from this area. I mean, you look at Tyler Johnston 1 week ago at UAB, just absolutely tortured South Alabama and has almost career day young man right here from the Gulf Coast. I mean, you look at Florida and LaMichael P. Ryan coming from Theodore High School. So the list goes on and on for athletes across the state. Carlton Marshall didn't get heavily recruited out of McGill-Tulane, has been the Sun Belt Conference Defensive Player of the Week already. So just a lot of names. Looking forward to continue to watch each and every Friday night.
Talking with Corey LeBounty, you can hear him tomorrow morning on Prep Sports Report beginning at 8 a.m. You mentioned it. A lot of teams on bye this week. Theodore, who you mentioned, Spanish Fort, St. Paul's, they've got a bye week. Blount and Baldwin County, all those schools resting up and getting ready for the second half of the season. Let's talk about some of these games we have tonight. One of the teams you've already mentioned, UMS Wright, they've won 23 games in a row. I believe that leads the entire state as far as win streaks go, but they're welcoming Mobile Christian to UMS tonight. Any chance that Mobile Christian stops them at 23?
I don't see that happening tonight, okay. Though. I really don't. I think Mobile Christian's going to do a wonderful job. Ronnie Cottrell, and Gus Smith, the defensive coordinator, are going to have their hands full just trying to figure out how to slow this UMS Wright team down. But they're such a machine defensively. I think last year they gave up maybe 57 total points or something ridiculous like that on the entire season. So far, through four games this season, they've only given up 20 points. So another stingy defense. I see the Bulldogs getting it done.
And their middle linebacker, Will Breland, he is a force to be reckoned with. Got some offers at the next level, including a military academy. He's fun to watch when he's out there.
I mean, first of all, his mom loves his hairdo. So he has one of the best hairdos that you've seen. But he was the Crichton Optimus Club Player of the Week, defensive back-wise. Every single time, I know a couple of weeks ago, I did the PA announcement for the Williamson-UMS game at LAD, and it seems like every other play, I was calling Will Breland's name when UMS was on defense, and that's the type of special young man he is. He's the reigning 4A lineman of the year, defensive lineman of the year, so I expect with the numbers he's putting up this year to have an opportunity to duplicate that feat again this year.
Yeah, we'll see the offers continue to roll in for him, I would imagine. Pretty big game across the bay. Fairhope playing at Daphne. Now the Trojans, they've encountered some adversity this year, to say the least. And I was surprised. Fairhope, they've won this game the last 2 years in a row. Who you liking in this Fairhope and Daphne matchup, or what are you looking for?
I'm looking for Daphne to try to find a way to get on the winning track. I mean, their overall record 1-2, Fairhope being 2-2. Fairhope's had some injuries that have really hurt them. They have a wonderful quarterback in Riley Norris. So I really think that when you look at this game, I think that Daphne's going to find a way to get it done. And like you said, the Pirates have won 4 of the last 5. Mm. So it's just an incentive for the Daphne Trojans to come away with the victory.
For sure. We have a across the bay matchup. Cottage Hill, undefeated right now, playing at Bayside Academy. Now, our co-host on Prep Sports Report, Mark Lassiter, an assistant coach there at Bayside. They haven't had the year that they had hoped for. They could turn it around tonight against Cottage Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for Coach Lassiter to come in tomorrow with a smile on his face as he did 1 week ago. Bayside Academy went on the road and got their first win of the year in upsetting T.R. Miller, but playing against Cottage Hill is no easy feat. I mentioned that Coach Chris Brazil doing a wonderful job with that Warrior program. We're talking about a Warrior program. This is Coach Brazil's only second year as head coach. He's been the baseball coach and been part of that school for over 17 years, but the turnaround of that program is a tremendous one. It's going to be tough for the Admirals. I like Cottage Hill.
Williamson's defense has really turned it up a few notches this year. They're playing at B.C. Reign. Williamson 3-1, B.C. Reign 1-4. What are you thinking about that one?
That game's at Tremier Park. I like the Williamson Lions. Robert Woodyard, the phenomenal sophomore linebacker. He's just next level, folks. If you have an opportunity to buy a ticket and go watch him play, he's one of those guys that you really want to watch, see continue to develop. Ranked so far as maybe one of the top three linebackers in his class of 2022. So I definitely like the Williamson Lions. Coach Sumter has done an outstanding job just getting the numbers back up at Williamson, getting the community involved, and just getting a lot of interest back in that program.
Let's get to a couple more games here before we hit the break. LaFleur heading to Saraland to take on Saraland. That's a pretty good matchup there. And also you have Faith Academy at home against Robertsdale. You were talking about Faith earlier.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Lacey, this is a young man who's verbally committed to South Alabama, rushed for 5 touchdowns, had a couple called back, could have been 7, over 300 yards a couple of weeks ago, and he's a fun player to watch. I think they'll come away with the win. I think they're playing Robertsdale tonight. Mm-hmm. The Mayor's Cup, another one, Dalton Murphy and Viger.
Yeah.
Murphy at Viger, the Mayor's Cup. I saw Sandy Stimson on Twitter talking about coming out to support that. That game's going to be at Pritchard Stadium, and that's just who's going to win the Mayor's Cup. I really like Murphy and what Coach Rico's done with the Murphy program.
And let's talk about the last game of the week. They'll play tomorrow, and an interesting matchup. A school from Florida, Inlet Grove, coming here to Mobile to take on McGill Toulon. Now, I was surprised when I looked this up. Inlet Grove, I mentioned they're a school from Florida. You said they're from Miami, so a long trip. They're 3-2 this year, ranked fifth, according to the Palm Beach Post. Apologize for that. And this is their third game in 8 days, and they're playing at McGill. That could be a shellacking tomorrow.
You know, it's going to be an opportunity to support high school football on a Saturday morning. That game is scheduled to kick at 11 a.m., so you'll have an opportunity to see some of that speed that everybody talks about that Florida normally has. But again, McGill Toulon trying to stay on that winning track, trying to go ahead and get the W at the Lip tomorrow at 11 a.m.
I love it. Some of the best high school football in the nation is played right here in Mobile and Baldwin County. That's a good roundup of that. Coming back, I want to talk a little bit about the SEC. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, a great event from the Ronald McDonald House. I'll let you know more about that coming up. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 821, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Got Corey Labounty in studio with me for a Football Friday. We just got through talking about the upcoming Week 6 in high school football. In college, what are we entering? Week 5 now in college football. And some SEC games to talk about for tomorrow. Also, a few teams are off, including the, what are they now, fourth-ranked LSU Tigers, who just seem to be running through everybody so far this season. But, Corey, I want to talk about a couple of the games that we saw last weekend before we get into tomorrow's games. And let's talk about this, the team that we air right here on FM Talk 106.5 with their second top 25 win of the season. And last Saturday, Auburn heading to College Station and getting that big win over Texas A&M, 28-20. Auburn's now ranked seventh after that win. Surprisingly to me, they only moved up one spot in the rankings. But the true freshman quarterback, Bo Nix, it was his first true road game because, you know, a bit of a, let's say, the crowd that he went into, a little different than his first you could call road game in Arlington. That was more of a split crowd when they beat Oregon for their first matchup of the year. But Bo Nix did what he was supposed to on Saturday, took care of the ball. He only finished 12 of 20 for 100 yards, got that one touchdown. But important early in the season with a defense like that to not turn the ball over, and Bo Nix seems to be succeeding at that.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can call him a game manager, but at the end of the day, he has the Auburn Tigers undefeated. I know Auburn was happy to see Anthony Schwartz back, mm-hmm. his second game back for the Auburn Tigers, immediately made his impact felt, and Auburn jumps on A&M early, and because of it, they were able to rely on that strong defense and found a way against the 12th man at Kyle Field to get that W.
And going into last week, rumors started popping up again. I mean, it seems like it happens incessantly. Gus Malzahn's job security, that came into question last week with rumors that if Auburn doesn't beat Bama this year, they could possibly bring in Bob Stoops, the former Oklahoma coach, to come in and take over the team. But now with that win, their second top 15 win of the year, what are they thinking on the plains with Gus Malzahn?
You don't want to have a disappointing loss against Mississippi State. Mm. That's the trap game to me, Dalton. I mean, there's going to be fodder every single week about Gus Malzahn's job. I mean, because the Auburn faithful, you look at the first half of that Oregon game, the first game of the season, I mean, there were already holes in the Gus bus. I mean, they felt like it was running on four flats in the first game of the season. And then, you know, Bo Nix finds Seth Williams, and they find a way to win that game. And then now you go on the road, and all of a sudden you're looking at, is that nitrogen in the tires for the Gus bus, or how is he finding a way to get it done? But he is finding a way to get it done, and I think that the players, you can have an Auburn Tiger team that goes deep into their schedule before they take their first loss.
Yeah, it looks like, and they got Florida next week, which is another top 10 matchup, but Auburn, they opened against Mississippi State as 11-point favorites. That has since been bet down to 9.5, so the Tigers favored by 9.5 points. Mississippi State, of course, they've already got one loss on record. They lost to Kansas State at home, and this will be an interesting game, likely to be two true freshmen starting at quarterback. We have Bo Nix, of course, but Mississippi State likely to have true freshman quarterback Garrett Schrader starting. He started his first game against Kentucky last weekend in place of senior quarterback Tommy Stevens. He's reportedly dealing with a shoulder injury, but also, he hasn't been at the top of his game. He was already benched against Kansas State. Last weekend, Schrader had 305 yards of total offense in his debut. So the rare game where Bo Nix actually has the experience advantage, and coming into a rowdy Auburn crowd with a great Auburn defense, not the best place for a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, I think the situation for Auburn is, you look at Mississippi State, they're allowing 143 rushing yards. And I think, again, the key to the Gus Bus is Auburn finding a way and establishing that running game, Dalton. If they're able to run the football, everything else falls into place. And Bo Nix, I know he'll play with a tremendous amount of confidence if he sees his running backs having a lot of yardage, and it's less stress on him, and you're asking him to have to do less when you're able to establish the run.
Let's talk about the second-ranked team in the nation, the Alabama Crimson Tide. They are also now 4-0, won 49-7 at home against Southern Miss last weekend. And the quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, had another Tua game, threw more touchdowns than incompletions last weekend, 5 touchdown passes and 4 incompletions, and he was out by the beginning of the fourth quarter. And he's moving up the records list there at Bama. He's now got 71 touchdown passes. A.J. McCarron holds the record with 77, and also last week, Tua passed Jalen Hurts and some other quarterbacks to move into the top 5 of Alabama's career passing yards list. How important is he to this team?
He's what makes it go at the end of the day. I mean, so far, Tua has 1,300 passing yards on the season and 17 touchdowns. That's a career for some, or a season for some, college quarterbacks, and he has that again looking through 4 weeks of college football. So very impressive numbers. You look at Alabama's offense, rock, paper, scissors is what Alabama's wide receivers are playing right now as to who's going to get the football and on kickoff returns as well.
And what does Nick Saban think of that? Did he mention that at all this week?
He did. He said he was not aware of it at all, but at the same time, those guys are just having fun playing the game that they love.
Yeah, tomorrow, Bama stays at home again. Welcome another team from Mississippi, Ole Miss, a team from the SEC that might not actually be much better than Southern Miss, who Alabama just whooped up on last Saturday. Bama favored by 35.5 points. Since Saban took over, Tide are 9-2 against the Rebels, and could have another freshman quarterback starting for Ole Miss because their quarterback, Matt Corral, he was knocked out of their loss to Cal last weekend with a rib injury. Let's talk about another freshman quarterback coming to Tuscaloosa and going against this Tide defense.
Doesn't stand a chance. I mean, that's a situation to where you're already having to elevate your game, and if you're a freshman coming in against this defense that isn't as potent as the Alabama defense was 1 year ago, Alabama still only giving up 10.8 points per game, which isn't too shabby, but 1 week ago, Dalton, Alabama starts 4 freshmen, so that just goes to show the type of depth and the player productivity that Coach Saban is always getting out of his guys.
Now, South Alabama, they have not had the year that they were hoping for at this point. They started pretty hot, almost upset Nebraska in Lincoln in week one, but since then the train has really been kind of rolling up the hill, I guess would be the saying there. It's not rolling at all. They had a couple bad losses to Memphis, and then again last weekend to UAB. They open their Sun Belt series against Louisiana Monroe in Louisiana tomorrow. South Alabama is 1-3, Louisiana Monroe 1-2, but the Warhawks 16-point favorites tomorrow. What do they got to do to turn this around for South?
Trey Minter has to come. He had a concussion a couple weeks ago against Memphis, and South Alabama has to find a way to get him involved in the offense, whether it's on the swing passes or whether it's just getting him rushing the football. If he is successful, South Alabama is successful. You know, he got all the preseason awards for a reason, but now he just has to find a way to battle through that concussion. If they get better quarterback play as well, those two things are going to be the key for South Alabama.
All right, and a couple SEC games. We can run through these really quickly. Number 23, Texas A&M. Coming off that loss to Auburn, they got a good chance to turn it around against Arkansas. Aggies favored by 23.5 points. What do they need to focus on to make sure they don't fall into this trap after losing to Auburn?
Texas A&M has to put the couple losses behind them. They've lost to quality opponents in Clemson and Auburn, and I think that Jimbo Fisher's going to do a wonderful job, and he's going to smell bacon, and so are the players against Arkansas with that early morning kickoff. They're going to go ahead and get them some hog early.
And the last game to kick off tomorrow, Kentucky plays at South Carolina. Will Muschamp still coaching for his job, you think?
Yeah, he is. I think that they're going to take another loss. I think Kentucky's going to find a way to get it done, and it's just a situation to where South Carolina, you know, they played Alabama tough for maybe a quarter and a half, and then all of a sudden just the wheels started falling off, and it's a situation to where, to me, this is a must-win for Will Muschamp. I mean, you have Kentucky at 2-2. They're continuing to improve. They want to go to 3-2. I see the Wildcats winning.
All right. Thanks, Corey. That's Football Friday. Check out Corey tonight, MCPSS. What time does that start to air and what channel?
6:50, we will be airing. You can check us out on Comcast Channel 15, or you can go to Facebook Live or YouTube and go ahead and check out the broadcast.
And tomorrow, Auburn kicks off at 6. You can hear the pregame broadcast right here on FM Talk 106.5 beginning at 3. Coming up next, Mobile Mornings rolls on the Rubber Ducky Regatta from the Ronald McDonald House. Coming up next. 836 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Thank you to Corey Labounty for coming in on a Football Friday, talking high school and SEC football with me. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, we're coming up on the end of September, and at the end of the month, that usually means some great deals out there on the lot at McConnell. What's going on today?
Well, Dalton, you know, the end of the month, I think people, there's a book and a YouTube video that tells customers wait till the end of the month to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to really be the thing that people do, and it's really a smart thing in a lot of ways. And so it's just the last couple of days, we hit a GMC objective that pays us an extra little bit of money on everyone, and all that means is we have 20% off of the new Sierra truck with that six function tailgate, and that's the biggest discount of the year. And no, we're giving people even a little bit more than that right now because we have a little extra bonus money to play with. And, you know, only, like you said, end of the month, a couple days left of that. And then the 0% financing on Yukons and Yukon Denali. I mean, we've only had that twice this year. So I think if people are out there in the market thinking about like a big SUV like a Yukon, Yukon XL, or that new pickup truck, man, these are the last couple of days through Monday, Dalton. They got to move fast, and you and I talk about it all the time, man. Our website, McConnellAutomotive.com. You know, don't let anybody trick you if you're out there listening. Nobody will sell a GMC or Buick cheaper than I will at McConnell, and quite frankly, we think we got the best website and the best selection, and hope everybody takes advantage of it before the end of the month.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great Friday, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. 8:37 now on FM Talk 106.5, and a great event coming up next weekend for an organization that I love with all my heart, been involved with them for a long time, and a good friend of mine, the executive director of the Ronald McDonald House Charities here in Mobile, Paul Giardina. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Dalton. Good to see you again. Appreciate you having us in.
No problem. So, Rubber Ducky Regatta coming up October the 5th. That's a week from tomorrow.
That's right.
And how long have y'all been doing the Rubber Ducky Regatta down at Riverside Park?
This is just our third year.
Third year.
Yeah.
And before we get into the Rubber Ducky Regatta and how cool that is, and how someone from right here at FM Talk 106.5 is also closely involved in the event, let's talk a little bit about Ronald McDonald House Charities here in Mobile. I'm sure, you know, you've been living under a rock if you haven't heard of the Ronald McDonald House, but you do great work right here locally. Talk about what you do and how you help out families in our area.
Great, thank you. Yeah, what Ronald McDonald House is we are a home away from home for families of hospitalized children. We are a place for them to stay literally right next door to USA Children's and Women's Hospital. And those families stay with us as long as their kids in the hospital, whether that's one day or we've had families live with us for almost a year before. We're there to support the families so they can support their kids back to health.
Yeah, you and Liz Kelsey, Mary McAleer, you and the rest of the crew just do outstanding charitable work here in Mobile. And part of that, you know, comes from volunteers and assistance from the community. I know a lot of people love to help out, and they're always looking for, you know, good charities where they know that their money is going to good work. And Ronald McDonald House certainly has that track record. But part of that is are the events that you put on throughout the year to help raise money for these families. And something really cool coming up where not only can you help out Ronald McDonald House, but also win some really cool prizes too.
Yeah.
And have a fun time with something that doesn't, you know, it's an outside the box idea, but this rubber ducky regatta, basically like the Kentucky Derby on water with rubber duckies. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So a few years ago, we decided we really needed an event that was children centric because I mean, that's what we're about. Is at the end of the day, we're about children. And so we actually saw it in another town and decided to bring it here. And, you know, we're going to be dumping up to 10,000 rubber ducks in the Mobile River. We first started it a few years ago. People thought we were crazy, but once you see it, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun seeing all those families and kids up against the rail there at Cooper Riverside Park, watching those ducks float down. It's really fun.
So you mentioned it. It is at Cooper Riverside Park. The event begins at 10 a.m. next Saturday, October the 5th. And FM Talk 106.5, a bit personally involved in this because our very own co-host right here on Mobile Mornings, Kelly Finley, she'll be emceeing the event again this year.
Yeah, she's been our MC all 3 years.
That's awesome.
She's fantastic. We really appreciate her.
So 10,000 rubber duckies dropped into Mobile Bay. How do you do that? Do you back up the dump truck, or how do you get the rubber duckies in the water?
Well, you'll have to see this year. Every year it's a little different. The first year we dumped them off the side of a boat. Last year we actually had a cement mixer dump them in. We've got something a little new this year, so we're always trying to make it a little different. They're contained. Oil Recovery Company puts out oil boom for us.
Cool.
So they are contained. They're not going to get out and float down the river, but it's really neat to watch.
Now, these aren't just any rubber duckies. They are owned by people, or at least adopted. That's the word you use. They're adopted, and that's how you end up helping out the Ronald McDonald House by purchasing or renting your rubber duckies. And the different ways you can, I was looking on the website, which you can check out on your own, rubberduckyregatta.com. Make sure you visit the charity website also, Ronald McDonald House Charities. It's rmhcmobile.org. And so what you do is it's $5 for one duck, right?
Right.
And then the quack pack, which is five ducks.
Right. And, it gets cheaper. The more ducks you adopt, the cheaper it gets.
Right. It's a good package deal. And you move up to the Costco and Sam's Club levels before long.
Right.
But for the quack pack, it's $20 for five ducks.
Right.
A derby dozen, which you guessed it, 12 ducks in that pack, $50. And then if you want to go big and have the most chance of winning the big quack, that's 25 ducks, and you purchase them for $100. And of course, we've said it, that money goes towards the charity, so it's all for a good cause. But let's talk about the prizes that are up this year. What could you win if your ducky crosses first?
Yeah, they're really good prizes, and it's for that, you know, for the investment of your $5 or $25 or whatever, you've got a pretty good chance. The grand prize again this year is a Carnival cruise for two out of Mobile. Carnival's very nice to us, and they donate that to us. So that's the grand prize. Then the second prize, if you don't get the cruise, it is a what we're calling like a weekend experience at Talladega for the upcoming spring race.
Cool.
They get tickets to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They get to eat lunch in the White Flag Club on Sunday. They actually get to ride in the pace car Sunday morning before
really?
The race. Yeah, so it's Matt Coulter from up there. Is a good friend of the house, so he's providing that. He's even offered to give them a tour of the facility if they want it. So that's the second prize. And then third place will be what we're calling a family fun pack.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a family of four pack of to go to OWA,
mm-hmm.
to go to the fair that's coming up, to ride on the duck boats, and even have a membership at the Dolphin Island Sea Lab. So
that is so cool. And you mentioned the Family Fun Pack. That's good because this is an event as much for the parents as it is for the kids, but it's really about the kids. I mean, we're talking rubber duckies here and racing them. That's just so cool. Again, this event next Saturday, October the 5th, begins at 10 a.m. When do you think the duckies will hit the water?
They hit the water at 11.
Okay.
And you don't have to be present to win. If you know, a lot of people just go on the rubberduckyregatta.com and adopt their ducks. We will call you if your number is pulled.
Okay.
And you don't actually have to be there. A lot of people think. And then if you want to come,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to even adopt ducks. Just bring your kids out. We'll have inflatables. We'll have somebody doing face painting. We'll have somebody doing balloon animals. Kona Ice will be there. Frio's will be there. So we'll have lots of stuff for kids to do for that couple hours. And then right at 11 o'clock is when the ducks go in the water.
So cool. Kelly Finley, co-host here on Mobile Mornings. She'll be emceeing the event. Now, you mentioned it'll be a surprise as to how you get the duckies in the water. A cement mixer last year. Any chance Ronald McDonald, is he going to back the duckies in? Or is he even eligible to win? I don't think Ronald should be allowed to win this.
Ronald's not eligible.
No. Okay. this is one of many events you hold every year. This is the last huge event of the year, but starting next year in the 2020 calendar year, you start all over again with some of these great events. I know one that I've been involved in. I even got up on the runway for the Little Black Dress.
Black, you and your wife have both done it. Yeah.
Yes, my wife looked much better than I did when I got up there. And staying true to my roots, I struck the Heisman pose when I got there at the end of the runway. But then I retired because they said I did such a good job that one year on the Little Black Dress runway that I should never show my face there again or something like that. But Little Black Dress is a cool event. What are some of the other events coming up next year that we can look forward to?
So Little Black Dress is our biggest. We also have an event called Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which is a girls' night out. We just finished that just here recently. And then there's other smaller events that we have. We even have, during the summertime, Moe's Barbecue does a barbecue lunch sale for us. We have lots of events and lots of opportunities for people to donate to us because most of the families that stay at Ronald McDonald House, they've got enough on their plate to have a child in the hospital, and they can't afford to make a donation to stay there. They stay for free as long as their kid's there, and the only reason we're able to do that is because of events and because of the generous people here in our community that support us.
You know, some of the testimonies from those families that have stayed at Ronald McDonald House, I mean, they're, in a way, you know, they're heartbreaking because these families are going through such a tough time in their life, but also bittersweet because they're, you know, they're able to, they have people like you, Paul, and the Ronald McDonald House charities who take them in and really assist them and help in any way that they can. I even love the playrooms you have there and the playground at Ronald McDonald House where it's not just the kids who are sick or that need this help, but there are usually other children in the family.
Yeah, their siblings are there.
That need to be taken care of, and you guys do an outstanding job of that. If someone is feeling like volunteering, the Rubber Ducky Regatta, these other events, that's not the only way they can help. How can someone else help with the Ronald McDonald House?
We need help all the time. We really rely on the community to help us, and it's really neat to see how the community comes forward, whether they're coming to get a group together from your company or your church or some civic group you're in and come cook a meal for the families. Some group comes every single day and cooks dinner, which is really cool. We also just always need volunteers there to do all kinds of things. Help us clean the rooms, help us to answer the phone when other things. There's always things to do there. It's a big house. We have a 38 guest room house. We can house 38 families at a time. So you can imagine there is a lot to do to take care of those people all the time.
And you take items too, right? Paper towels, things of that nature.
Yeah, we always have a wish list item going. We provide everything a family needs. So not only do we have the laundry facilities, we also provide the bleach and the laundry detergent, everything they need. Because think about it. They're at the hospital all the time. They don't have time to go buy that stuff. They need it set right in front of them. And so that's what we do is make sure everything they need, food donated that's in our pantries, they just go and get. Or, like I said, people come cook for them. Everything's there. So what I always say is it's just like my house or your house, just much bigger. So if it's something you need at your house, we need it in quantity at Ronald McDonald House.
That's so great. The event next Saturday, October the 5th, the Rubber Ducky Regatta starts at 10 a.m. Ducks in the water at 11 a.m. You don't have to be there. You can go on rubberduckyregatta.com and get your ducks, and they'll call you. That's a promise, right? You'll call if they win.
We'll call.
All right, and check out the charity website, rmhcmobile.org, for some more great information. Paul, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Dalton. Appreciate it.
That's Paul Giardina, the executive director, Ronald McDonald House, here in Mobile. They do great work, just an outstanding charity. And check that event out. It's not something you want to miss. And Kelly Finley will be there. So you can go say hey to your favorite, I'm sure, your favorite, maybe second favorite, Mobile Mornings co-host. We're coming back. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll wrap it up on this Friday here on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:54 on FM Talk 106.5. Wrapping up Mobile Mornings on this Friday. I'm Dalton Orwig, and this segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you don't know how they work at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, this is what they do. If you have a bunch of junk, you don't know where to take it, if you can't physically move said junk, or if it's some of that junk you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster, whether it's unsafe or not to just throw in the trash, we'll just call the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they've got you covered. One of the best things about using Trey and his crew, you make your appointment, and they show up right on time, unlike some of those companies, you know who I'm talking about, cable companies and the like, that give you one of those 4-hour or 6 or 8-hour windows, and you take off work, and then maybe they show up, maybe they don't. Maybe they show up at the very end of that window they gave you and don't even call. That's not what they do with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You call them or you go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set up your appointment. They'll be there exactly when you expect them. And the price that you get quoted is the price that you'll end up paying. That's outstanding, and not every company can say that. 1-800-GOT-JUNK can say that. Everyone I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come take their junk away have nothing but glowing reviews, including, just about everybody here at FM Talk 106.5 that's used the company. Once again, to get a quote, set up an appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Thank you to Corey LeBounty earlier this hour coming in and talking some high school and SEC football with me on this Football Friday. Again, you can check him out tomorrow morning on Prep Sports Report beginning at 8 a.m. as they recap tonight's games, and also on Monday night with me on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. And thanks to Paul Jardina with the Ronald McDonald House Charities here in Mobile, that Rubber Ducky Regatta coming up next Saturday, October the 5th. You know, as some of these cities, especially progressive cities, move into more eco-friendly ways of life, there could be some withdrawals and some drawbacks to those. And a funny, depending on how you look at it, a funny story from San Francisco this week, where police, who some of their police cars there in San Francisco are now using Teslas as part of a pilot program. The city's put this in place to limit their greenhouse gas emissions. So they've begun using Teslas with the police force, and you'd think, you know, okay, everything's fine and dandy. Teslas seem to work out most of the time. That is, unless you forget to charge that Tesla. They had a Tesla electric patrol car that ran low on electricity in the middle of a pursuit. That's according to the Fremont Police Department. Someone forgot to plug the vehicle into a charger, and they didn't find out until this vehicle was in the middle of chasing down a suspect. According to the officials, the officer was pursuing a vehicle there in Fremont. The car began to run low on battery power. And according to the police radio transmissions, the officer said, "Just slowed down to 6 miles of battery on the Tesla, so I may lose it here in a sec. If someone else is able, can they maneuver into the number one spot?" Fortunately, and I don't know if they're all Teslas or if they do have some gas-powered vehicles there, but other units did take over the pursuit, and police said the chase was eventually called off because it became unsafe. They later found the suspect's vehicle abandoned in San Jose. The Fremont police spokesperson came out and said the Tesla was not fully charged at the beginning of the shift. This unfortunately happens from time to time, even in our vehicles that run on gas, if they aren't refueled at the end of a shift. So you're telling me the Fremont Police Department, this happens time to time, they run out of gas during pursuits, or in this case, run out of electricity because they didn't charge it. One of the drawbacks about moving so quickly into this new era of automated and electric vehicles. Check out the website, fmtalk1065.com. There you can find podcasts for every hour of every local show that we have here on the radio station. Sean Sullivan was live in Washington, D.C. yesterday and on Wednesday for FAIR's 13th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire conference. You can hear his interviews there on fmtalk1065.com or download the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Many ways you can get it. That wraps up Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Everybody have a great weekend. I'm Dalton Orwig, the Mike Gallagher Show, next.